A friend of mine recently was involved in an escape room game. You probably have heard about those, right? You go to an escape room establishment and they lock you into a room. And you are given a series of clues and you discover your way out of the escape room. That's the goal. Get out of the escape room. You're locked in, you got to get out. And one of the big challenges of an escape room experience is that there's a time limit. There's a clock ticking away. Typically about an hour, although some escape game rooms only allow 45 minutes. Others that are perhaps more challenging allow up to 90 minutes. But the point is, the clock is ticking away. As you attempt to think your way out of the situation, usually a group of people, you have this extra pressure of a time limit placed on you. Now, a lot of games have time limits involved in them. Competitive chess has a time limit. You're not only playing against your opponent, you're also playing against the clock. And there are games where a player is winning and then they lose because they've run out of time. I've watched many a football game, many an NFL game on a Sunday afternoon where the losing team is on a comeback. They're trying to get into the goal, score a touchdown, or even a field goal to win the game, but they just run out of time. The play clock goes down to zero before they've made the play that wins the game. Now, there are a lot of things in life that weigh on us for sure: money, health, work, relationships. But I think perhaps the biggest thing in life that weighs on us is time. If we just had a bit more time. I've met many an author who wish they just had a bit more time. We have two authors, maybe more in the church, that know this. Just a bit more time, just a bit more time to edit, just a bit more time to get everything organized, research properly. You know, there comes a point in life where we realize that the game of life has a time limit on it. The clock is ticking. We just don't have an infinite amount of time in this life. When we are young, we understand this intellectually, of course, but it's only as we get older that it begins to really dawn on us that there really is a practical limit to this life of ours. It's almost like we are living in, or life is, a great escape room, and we only have a limited amount of time to figure out what this experience of life is all about for us, how we're to make the best use of this life we've been given. If you go online and you look up quotes, you'll find some of the most profound thoughts human beings have ever uttered are around time. For instance, there's the old folklore saying, "Time waits for no one." Sometimes we think time will wait for us, just like our spouse will wait for us as we're getting ready to go out. We sometimes think we have more time than we will need. I know that we've often been disappointed by this. No person here has sufficient power to be able to stop time or to change time's course. Life keeps moving on. Our passivity in life does not stop time and the events that flow out of it. You can't check out of time. You can check out of a lot of things, but you can't check out of time. Leo Tolstoy, in his novel War and Peace, said this: "The two most powerful warriors are patience and time." The ability to bring patience and time to a situation is actually to bring great power to it. Quiet, relaxed waiting is very powerful. Shakespeare said, "Better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late." It was in the context of a play where a man thought his wife was cheating on him, so he set up a trap for her. But he just got to the trap a minute too late, and he never did discover whether his wife was cheating on him. Just missed the chance by a breath. Sometimes we've missed the most incredible thing by just taking a breath too soon. The right moment is so fleeting at times. Benjamin Franklin said, "Lost time is never found again." Franklin warns us that time is a scarce resource. And if it's wasted, unlike other things, it cannot be recovered later. That's why the tragedy of the wrongfully convicted is so powerful. You know, somebody gets sent away to 20 years in jail for a crime that they didn't commit, and then they're finally exonerated and released, and they'll almost inevitably get a big cash payout for given to them, but they won't get back the thing that's most precious to them, their lost time. Harvey McKay says it this way: time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. You know, Nelson Mandela was quite bitter about losing 27 years of his life in jail. He understood that jail made him into the person he was. He understood that jail refined him in a really unique kind of way. It made him into the right person to lead South Africa into a new future, but it cost Mandela so much. It cost him the one thing he couldn't get back: time. You know the Big Ben Tower in downtown London? You've probably seen pictures, or maybe you've seen it in person. Why do the security guards there feel exhausted and weary guarding Big Ben, do you know? Because they're all working around the clock. Dora died of old age on her 24th birthday. How is that possible? She was born on February 29th, right? Answer me this. Round and round I go, never stopping, in a continuous flow. I hang out with numbers each and every day, and nothing ever gets in my way. What am I? More specific. Hands on the clock. How many birthdays do the average Jehovah Witness have? Zero. They don't celebrate birthdays. Right? Just as an aside, what did number two say to number one? Are you single? It becomes quite obvious when we think about it that time is different from pretty much everything else in life. Pretty much everything else in life you can take a hold of, you can get a grip on. You can take a hammer, you can put your fist around a hammer, you can get a hold of a hammer, but how do you take hold of time? Philosophers are not even certain exactly what time is. Scientists have no reasonable definition of what time is. Yet how we use time is probably the most important determination for our success in life. How we manage our use of time is more important than our intelligence or natural ability. If we use our time wisely, if we steward it wisely, if we engage in careful and responsible management of our use of time, then our capacity for accomplishment is immense. Our biggest limitation, each of us in life, is how we use time. In the month of October, we are looking at stewardship. Stewardship in the church is often associated with money and fundraising and buildings, but we're not going to talk about any of that in the month of October. Stewardship has a much bigger meaning. The careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. And as we've been discussing over the past couple of weeks, pretty much everything in life that matters to us has been something that's been entrusted to us, been given into our care, our relationships. And of course, we have a relationship with pretty much everything in life, not just with people, but with other creatures, with health, money, with time, perhaps. We might even have a relationship with time. And the quality of our relationships in general are completely dependent about how we manage our time. If we're irresponsible with our use of time in life, if we waste our time, all our relationships suffer because of it. In fact, we might even say, as I just mentioned, we have a relationship with time. Time has been entrusted into our care. God has entrusted time into our care. God has given us the responsibility of managing the use of time in our lives. If we manage our time wisely, we can have a different kind of impacts in our relationships. You see, God has given us some pretty big tasks to fulfill as followers of Jesus. The core commandment is to love to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is not a trivial task given to us, to love God and to love our neighbor. If we are poor managers, poor stewards of our use of time, if we are scattered in our energy, if we're hapless in prioritizing our use of time, then we will lack the necessary resources to love powerfully. Now, I don't know about you, but I often struggle in my use of time. I don't always think I use my time wisely or productively. For one thing, it's so easy in our culture today to get distracted, from the essential tasks that have been given to us. Our whole culture today is based on distraction. Those cell phones that we all have, pretty much, most of us. These are distraction devices. Agreed? Yeah. They're amazing devices. I love this phone. And they're incredible devices, but they are also, by nature, a distraction. They nurture the life of distraction in us. I'll go onto YouTube to listen to a new song someone has suggested to me. Like Pauline suggested, hey, maybe give Less Like Me a try this Sunday. So I go on to listen to the song, but there's all these suggestions waiting for me there on YouTube. And inevitably, I give in and I go to a video, and then I follow it to the next video, then the next one. And then a half hour goes by, and I haven't even watched the video I went to watch in the first place. Am I the only one here that does that? I hope not. Live in a world of distraction. So do you. You can be completely taken off your life plan by the distractions around you. See, we got to be on guard today for this distractive world that we find ourselves in, or our whole life will become one big giant distraction in itself. And that's always been a problem. Understand, this is not a new problem. It goes back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. There's the serpent distracting Adam and Eve from their essential task. They're being diverted down a different pathway that they had ever intended. But today, the challenge of distraction is much larger. Distraction has been raised to an art in our culture, more than we've ever seen before. The stewarding of our time is more pressing and more challenging for us than it's ever been. And if we don't intentionally steward our time, if we don't take a careful and responsible management of our time, then we will fritter our life away. Now that's a tragedy. To waste our life away by following all the distractions around us means we'll accomplish very little when we're done. When it's all over, when our time runs out, it means we'll have accomplished almost nothing, especially in the realm of love, which is the only thing that really matters in the end. It's the love you live out in your life, the love you give and receive. That's the only thing that's going to matter in the end. You know, over the years, I've seen a lot of Trillium folk die. You know, some really beautiful people die. Some people, they die and they leave a huge hole in the congregation. They leave a huge hole in many of our hearts. See, their life was in many ways built around using their time responsibly. They were responsible stewards of their time. That meant they had a huge impact on the world around them. And because of this, they were able to extend love and receive love in a powerful kind of way. And we know them by the absence in our hearts. They stewarded their time well in serving God and people. And we miss them. But there are other people in our congregation who die and we hardly notice they're gone. I know it's not a nice thing to say, but it's true. They die and the impact of their life is almost unnoticeable because their life was not dedicated to holy love. Their time was not organized around being God's emissary of love to the world. They were not wise stewards of their time when it came to serving love. And when they die, they just disappear and no one hardly notices. You know, the song Less Like Me is about a follower of Jesus who keeps using his time for himself, keeps missing the moment, keeps missing the opportunity to serve love's purposes in life, to extend love to his neighbor, whoever he might be, whoever she might be, to minister to people around him. He doesn't get his life right because he's not stewarding his time properly. It's unfocused and wasted. It's misdirected. It's misdirected onto himself. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand I could have held when I just can't see past myself. Part of not seeing ourselves, part of not seeing past ourselves is how we use our time. What do we use our time for? What are you dedicating the time of your life today to in your life? Where are you spending your allotment of time today? God calls us to be instruments of his divine love into life. That means we're to be stewards of time. Carefully manage our relationship with time. Dedicate our time to serving God's purposes of love in life. A little more like mercy. A little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. I can tell you, beautiful song, but it's not going to happen unless you and I manage to discipline our use of time. Unless we carefully and responsibly manage our use of time to serve God's kingdom of love in life. There's more to stewardship, of course, than time that's required to bring about God's kingdom of love on earth or to allow God's love to extend through us, but time is a big part of it. The writer of Ecclesiastes has a fairly modest, sober attitude towards life. Basically, he mocks all the pomp and ego of life. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is about. He mocks all the ego and pomp that we celebrate in the world. He points to the pointlessness of so much of human endeavor. His basic motto might be something like this: don't sweat the small stuff. And it's pretty much all small stuff. It's mostly small stuff that has our attention today. Little things that don't really matter in the end. Have nothing to do with love, that's for sure. It's mostly the small stuff that you and I are sweating in our life. It's mostly the small stuff today that commands our use of time. And Ecclesiastes is saying, well, you're missing the basic point of your life if you get caught up that way into things. We're called to savor the opportunities of love. Those little expressions of love that come to us in the moment. And if you sweat all the small things, if you get distracted by all the small things, if you run after the world's sense of what's important, you're going to miss the opportunity to love in those little kinds of ways. If you get caught up in the drama of the world, you'll miss the opportunities to love your neighbor who's right around you. But you just can't see because you can't get beyond yourself. God has made everything beautiful in its time, Ecclesiastes says. That means there's an unfolding intelligence at work in your life. If you allow this intelligence to unfold matters in and through you, if you dedicate your time to those two powerful warriors, patience and time, if you steward your time well, allow all the unique situations in your life to unfold as they're meant to, something beautiful, even magical, will take hold in you. You'll become a little bit more like Jesus. You know, we really can be a little more like mercy. You can be a little more like grace, and I can be a little more like kindness. We together can be more, a little more goodness, more love and faith in life, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. And I think today I'm going to work harder at stewarding my time, my use of time. I'm going to dedicate my time more and more to God's purposes in life, in my life, and really savor those little opportunities to love, To be ready when somebody comes to me with a hurt in life. Be ready when my hand is available to help someone in need. Because I know the Lord is going to help me see past myself to the other. And not only do I think God's going to help me with this, I think God is helping you with this too.